Hello again and welcome to the third episode of Eating with the Sun and Fasting with the Moon. It has been over a month since I fasted for Ramadan and I wanted to continue my explorations, especially with the momentum of mindful eating that I had developed back then. It seemed natural to examine next the concept of intermittent fasting because Ayurveda has long promoted the pattern of a 2-meal or an 8-hour eating period followed by a 16-hour period of rest. It also seemed befitting to invite my friend who has perfected the practice of intermittent fasting. But first, a deja vu moment where we delved into his name, much like I did with my guest in the last episode.
The name is actually Ramakrishna. The first name that my parents gave me, and actually still is my first name. I go by Schwark mostly because my real first name was mostly butchered when I first moved to the United States about 25, 30 years ago now. So I was trying to find an easier, shorter name, and Schwark actually was a nickname I had in college. And so my friends used to call me Schwark, so I said, like, you can call me Schwark too. So that's kind of how it came about. It was a bastardization of my initials. In India, my last name is initialized and goes first. So that's S. My middle initial is V. Ramakrishna became RK. So SVRK, it became Schwark.
I then asked Schwark as to what had led him to try fasting.
So my journey to fasting actually kind of was, it didn't start out with fasting. It actually initially started out with my trying to get a better handle on my health in general. And that question itself started when I turned 40 and I started to realize that I was starting to put on weight. I was feeling less healthy. It was starting to become a little bit more of a chore to do the basics of what I wanted to do. I got a trainer and he asked me to walk, or actually run, to the end of the block and back, and I really couldn't do that. And so I said, look, you know, things are not in a good place. I need to do something about this. I started reading about it because my doctor told me I didn't really have much of a problem. So I did my own reading and understood that, you know, insulin resistance is one of the things that starts to build in South Asian men. Mm-hmm. And so my goal was to try and reduce that. The first part of that was weight loss, which I did with a keto diet. I did drop some weight. And but one of the things I realized, especially as a vegetarian, is the keto lifestyle is almost unsustainable. And also I was miserable. So it didn't really make sense to do any more than a short period of time.
You know, I'm glad that Schwark drew that conclusion and switched to fasting as a sustainable way to maintain his weight loss. Because all scientific literature and research shows that fasting can help reduce IGF-1, which is the insulin-like growth factor. And once we reduce this, we can reduce illnesses such as diabetes and cancer, as well as, you know, damaged DNA gets normalized. Age-related diseases are reduced. So fasting definitely helps slow down the aging process.
So then I started talking to other people to find out what could be more sustainable. And I met a friend of mine, and he introduced me to the construct of, you know, extended fasts. So then I ended up doing a couple of 2-3-day fasts. Then I realized that 3-day fasts are also not sustainable. So that's when I started reading more, and then I found intermittent fasting, and I've since, for about the last 2.5 to 3 years, I've been on a 1-meal-a-day program, which is basically, call it a 23-in-1 intermittent fasting.
So Ayurveda generally does not recommend long fasts. In fact, it warns that vigorous fasting can cause imbalance in the basic governing principles of the body. An Ayurvedic fast has to help maintain balance within the body. Otherwise, while curing one problem, we may be laying the seeds for future problems. So many Ayurvedic doctors will recommend either a one-day fast each week or a 16-hour fast every day.
It basically started off with maybe not even 16-8, like maybe 15-9 or whatever, and so on and so forth. But it basically ended up going from there gradually down to what I'm doing now. I did have a goal to try and get to at least 16-8. That was my initial goal. I can tell you it probably took me months to get to one meal a day, 4 or 5, maybe even 6 months. My goal wasn't to do this for 3 years. Like, at least when I got started, for someone that's, you know, that loves to eat and that has been eating a lot all his life, it was not something that I envisioned I'd do the rest of my life. You know, I went from month one to month two to month three, and before I know it, it's been whatever, 30 plus months.
So what Schwok is describing is his one meal a day plan that he typically enjoys as dinner. I have chosen to share his example because he gravitated to this plan after starting out with a classic intermittent fasting pattern. And he did it gradually. At every turn, he examined the sustainability of his options.
I have picked dinner as my one meal of the day. The reason for that, even though it's not ideal, is in fact social. I get to eat with the family. I can have business dinners where I can actually go out and have dinner with colleagues. So it actually ends up being something that I can fit into my life.
I wondered how Schwok makes sure to eat enough and eat a balanced diet in that 1 hour a day.
You know, when I first got started, I didn't even care what I ate. Mm-hmm. In that 1 hour, I just ate whatever I wanted to. Now, I actually am a little bit more picky in terms of how to construct that meal and what I want to have. But I would say that I'm still not, you know, militant about it. I don't really care that much about exactly what I eat. What I do want to make sure is that I'm not missing out on entire nutrient groups over a week, let's say. So it doesn't have to be on a daily basis, but basically across the week, I want to be able to do, you know, certain kinds of things. So I get, you know, minerals and vitamins, which are all the harder things to make sure you get. You almost always can get, you know, carbs, proteins, and fats. So my diet is mostly driven off of whatever I feel like eating. But I do have fruit every day. I do have vegetables every day. I like to kind of reduce my whatever rice and wheat intake. But, you know, I actually do have chocolate every day. The reason is I want it to be sustainable. I want to reward myself with something to make this all work. Of course, if it's a festival or, you know, kids' birthdays or something where you're making cakes or whatever, I, of course, will partake. But, you know, for someone that has a very, very strong sweet tooth, I've been surprised with myself in terms of how little I crave it now.
Now, that makes sense because when you fast, your leptin levels rise and your hunger hormone is lowered. So as more and more leptin is secreted in the body, it will signal your taste receptors to crave less super sweet food. While I guide my clients to eat mindfully and discover the best pattern of intermittent fasting for their level of appetite and Ayurvedic constitution, I wondered what tools had guided Schwok in his journey.
You know, there are now lots of different kinds of tools out there that are actually designed to kind of help you think about fasting. I use Zero, which actually shows up as a little icon on my watch face, on my Apple Watch. So that actually tells me how far I've gone and how far I've left to go. Yeah, so it's never really easy to not eat. It's always helpful to know, hey, it's another couple of hours. It's easier to wait. So using tools to motivate yourself could also help in the process. I also do, for nutritional purposes, use my MyFitnessPal, not because I'm trying to control what I eat per se, but to primarily understand if I'm getting everything my body needs.
And then Schwalk revealed what motivated him to stay on course.
Actually, it's just the literature. If you look at the literature, fasting, so it turns out the human body is actually very capable of repairing itself very well. But when it's overloaded with nutrients, then it almost doesn't have a reason to repair itself. And so it kind of falls into disrepair because it's not acting. And so all this is really doing is allowing the body to do what it does really well. Our current sources of abundance are very recent in human history. We're simply kind of dialing the clock back a little bit. So I'm simply trying to stay healthy longer as I grow older, and that's the primary motivation.
What Schwalk is alluding to here is the concept of toxic waste. According to Ayurveda, if we overeat, food hangs around in our digestive system, and partially digested food can become toxic if it is not quickly processed. So ama is a toxic byproduct of incomplete digestion, and that's what gets produced when we tend to overeat. And according to Ayurveda again, ama is the root cause of the majority of human diseases. So digestion or agni is central to health. And a poor digestion will lead to poor health, while a strong digestion will facilitate good health. Agni helps us absorb nutrients from the food we eat, and its other role is to remove waste products that build up in our cells and tissues. So when the fire of Agni is low, we have low nutrition coming into our body and poor elimination of waste. This can lead to weakness, lack of energy, and low immunity. The idea of a regular fast is to give our Agni or digestive system a rest. This helps to revitalize and reignite our digestive fire and helps improve our overall health. It also gives us a chance for Agni to burn up any toxins or ama that has built up in our body.
I found fasting to be very easy to sustain long term, and I found something like a keto diet unsustainable. I was in a bad, mental state. I didn't like what I was eating. I was miserable. I've done 2-3 day fasts. I've had not that much trouble skipping my one meal. Now, I was just saying, your body adapts to what it knows it can get. A lot of it is actually more even mental than physiological or physical. So I think whatever you can get your mind to go along with you for is probably one that's going to work. Trying to go to any extreme very quickly is bound to fail. So, as I said, it took me 6 months or more to kind of step into where I'm at right now. But to be honest, if you look at a lot of literature, you'll get most of the benefits at about 16, 8. Beyond that, the incremental benefits actually are going to start to decrease. So you don't get, twice as much benefit by making it what I do versus 16, 8. Find something that I think is sustainable long term.
And to follow up on that sound piece of advice, here is another. Before beginning any type of fast, it is important to consider your Ayurvedic constitution, any current health challenges, your state of digestion, and your general state of vitality. Perhaps a simple first step might be to just fast from foods such as refined sugars or refined carbs, maybe gluten or commercial dairy products, and unhealthy fats, commercial meats, genetically modified foods or processed foods, frozen foods or fast foods, because all of these substances tend to create ama and heaviness. Next time, we will talk about the different types of Ayurvedic fasting that are customized to your Ayurvedic constitution. For now, here are some general tips for success. If you would decide to fast, try to choose the length of your fast conservatively. You should not feel weak, depleted, irritated, or painfully hungry. If you experience any of these, you should introduce more solid foods immediately. Now, if you do choose to fast one day a week, it is better to choose the same day every week. And during a fast, you may feel a little tired, lightheaded, or have a headache as toxins are released and your body is purified. These are all signs and will pass in a short time. But if these symptoms persist, discontinue your fast because you should start to feel better and lighter as your body welcomes rejuvenation, increased energy and clarity. Finally, meditation and journaling are useful practices that are nourishing to your process during the fast. Remember to reduce your activity and allow for rest.
Well, thanks, Shwak. Really appreciate your time.
Of course. See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.